just incredible volumes. I mean, annually looking at hundreds of remodels and renovations on your corporate offices, just incredible amounts of work.
You're making me nervous.
Hi, I'm Shannon Koenigsdorf, and thank you for joining us for today's episode of Team Around the Table. I'm so thrilled to be joined today by Sean Moore from H&R Block to talk about one of my favorite topics, which is partnership and collaboration with clients.
That's great.
We're getting ready to celebrate our 25th
That's amazing.
Year of partnership together, which is incredible. So thank you so much for being here. Almost 19 years ago, I actually started my career on the H&R Block account. And it was during the time when H&R Block was in tremendously fast expansion mode. So the years that we opened 650 offices, 550 offices. So you'll laugh at this, but my role was actually to call landlords and get their approval on H&R Block signage. What I loved about it, you know, I felt like my time on the account was so formative because the culture is so strong on that account team. And that really is an extension of your culture and, you know, all the leaders that we've worked, you know, with within your organization have really come together with us to celebrate the wins, celebrate the victories, and make us feel truly like a part of your organization. So thank you for being a great client.
Yeah. Well, likewise, thank you for being a great partner. I love having the talent on our account for sure.
So I want to start our dialogue today by just giving some kind of high-level stats about H&R Block's portfolio, because I think for our listeners to really understand the scale of what we're looking at. So 6,600 corporate locations, more than 12 million square feet, $300 million annual rent spend. Last year, I think north of 20,000 work orders in facilities. Just incredible volumes. I mean, annually looking at hundreds of remodels and renovations on your corporate offices, just incredible amounts of work.
You're making me nervous.
So maybe for our listeners, let's start a little bit with just maybe a little bit more about you. And I know you wear many hats at H&R Block. So tell us a little bit about what you do there.
I've been at H&R Block roughly about 23 years. And I've had, like I said, I have a lot of different roles. I do our mergers and acquisitions and some field technology. But ultimately, as regards to this conversation, I also lead our field operations in real estate. And as you mentioned, a pretty large footprint.
So talk to me about the makeup of your internal real estate team.
Yeah, this is, I mean, this is a part of the relationship. We have a C&W and allows us to operate very narrowly, actually. I have one director and then I have one program manager that kind of works obviously very closely with our C&W team. And that's the extent of our real estate team at H&R Block for a $3 billion company that has 6,600 locations.
That's just incredible. When I think about the seasonality of your business, it really makes an already unique, just massive portfolio really that much more unique. And the way that we service you is different because of that. Talk about historically some of the challenges maybe that's presented, the fact that your offices are closed for so many months of the year.
That's right. I mean, we literally, there's a very large portion, 70% of our network, goes dark for many months at a time. And so right now, we're like cracking the doors back open, and all that comes with who knows what, right? I mean, there's two or three, you know, months that go by, and we go into the offices, and we try to figure out, like, is the HVAC working? And we literally have teams of people, as we speak today, that are opening our offices, and we understand what there's repair and maintenance that need to happen. And so that's really the big challenge is how do we get all those things kind of corrected, you know, in a 30-day, 45-day time frame before we're opening for our clients.
One of the things that I love about this partnership, if I think about the now 75 associates, Cushman Wakefield associates, we have who are largely centralized at our Portfolio Services Center in St. Louis. So they're not sitting on site with H&R Block, but they truly, they identify so closely with your firm and company and your values. And that readiness, that office readiness is so crucial to them. I'm thinking about what they did a couple of months ago to help prepare for these weeks. Things like leveraging, I know that we keep the inventory through preventative maintenance programs on all of your HVAC units. So we understand for your 6,600 offices, what units you have out there that are aging out, what units, you know, perhaps in the last couple of tax seasons were really sort of giving offices trouble and causing potential disruptions in service. And I think they actually, in partnership with your team, went out and proactively serviced that certain percentage of units. And then they have data that shows in the years that we've done this, those offices actually almost never have a maintenance call that comes in during the tax season, which is so important for your business, you know, operating 4 months out of the year to make sure that they're turned up, right, and having as limited disruption, hopefully no disruption, you know, in servicing your customers.
I mean, it's so important to us because our tax season and our service, it really ends up being kind of peaky, right? So we have January, February, and then we have just kind of April. So we operate in 8 weeks. So for us to be down is really, really hard for our business and can have major impact. So like you said, we've done this over time with C&W and learned how to have a readiness program for HVAC. And we look at our lease renewals and that process about how long have we been in some of these locations. And if we've been in these locations, we're a 60-year-old business for decades, then let's be a little more preventative. And so we've worked and partnered with our data to say, let's put a new HVAC in. Let's jet our plumbing lines. Let's do some things that are we wouldn't normally do if we were leasing for 3 years, but we know we have a longer and we can use our data to say what our performance is in those offices and the longevity we've been in those offices to help us be more prepared and be proactive.
Yeah, I love that. And when I think about the importance of data and all the data points that we gather through each one of those encounters and how it informs the rest of the process, it gets me so excited to think about all the value that we can create in there. So when we go to renew that lease, we'll have a banner that pops up that says, hey, here's the maintenance history, here's the spend. Let's go negotiate that back, right, and recoup that value for H&R Block. So I want to dig more into data. Leveraging thousands and thousands of data points that tell us about your physical locations. We have past performance data. We've built predictive analytics in to help us evaluate your portfolio in terms of, you know, sort of a key, what, you know, offices we should study further for certain metrics or reasons. And as we go to renew offices, give us a really a data-driven lens with which we're evaluating the portfolio. So talk to me about how the use of the regression model, the predictive analytics is really helping you guys drive those decisions.
What's interesting is our business is unique in the fact that we kind of function as a retail business, but we're a service-based business. So clients aren't intersecting with us on a daily basis. They're not intersecting with us even on a monthly basis. They may be intersecting with us one time a year. And if that's the case, then our real estate and our footprint really matters to us. And why do we have it? We have 60 years of history with 25 years of history between us. Is what are the different data elements that can help us inform us and make an analytical decision? And also take it away a little bit from our field associates, which our field associates, many of them come from other retail organizations where they're selling clothes and they're selling, you know, more consumer type products that they're interacting with more often. We don't do that. And so they have an opinion about our real estate. And so a lot of times we have to convince and sell where we want to go with our real estate. And our analytics, we put together a model that plots all of our real estate and where it can be predicted what we can do. And so it does inform us at least a portion of where we want to do with our footprint. Virtual today is a big deal. We have people working from home now. So we're actually looking at optimizing our footprint. And a lot of times we're moving one door down. And we're taking less space and we're saving money. And we're going to save $20 million over the next 3 years just shrinking our locations.
Talk about, as you prepare for tax season, are there other things in the real estate space that are keeping you up at night or?
Wow. Loaded question. What keeps me up at real estate is, are we in the right locations? Are we serving the client where they need to be met? And I think we were just talking, you know, recently about, I'm a little concerned. Are we moving away from some of our clients? Are we leaving trade areas because of whatever reason? It could be security. It could be population movement. It could be all these different things. Where I'm always concerned, what keeps me up at night is, do we have the footprint in the right places?
Because particularly as we think about some of those most urban areas, your customers, they are really counting on having that brick and mortar location to be able to visit and sit face to face with their tax professional. And, you know, the emotional component of deciding whether to stay in a location like that, you know, the only way to really circumvent that today is relying on the data and the modeling. One of the things that I really appreciate about the approach that we've collectively taken is this idea that we always want to be getting better, right? Mm. I loved over the summer, one of the things the account leaders did was they took a couple of days and they put on sort of an in-house workshop. They called it an oil change, which I thought was so refreshing, like the perfect name. Thinking about, you know, every process, soup to nuts, and, you know, we're thinking through lease administration, just, you know, how we abstract your data, how we audit and quality control that data, all of the processes that those folks run, the renewal teams, the new store teams, your project managers who run your renovations, they all spent time in thought, thinking about how we could do things differently, more efficiently, drive better outcomes for H&R Block. And then as a team, they spent time both in disciplines, cross-functionally to really challenge each other as leaders. And I walked into this giant conference room and there were just huge, you know, whiteboards full of information, people energized, really energized, thinking about how they were going to continue to elevate the level of service that we bring to H&R Block. So I was curious, did you know that that took place?
I did. And I think, you know, I believe in continuous improvement. And I think what's great is, you know, business has been 60 years, 25-year relationship with C&W. It's so important to us to continue to rethink. And are we reimagining our footprint, reimagining our business model? Same thing with our process, right? And I think the team pushes us and we push back on you all. It's like, we got to be more efficient. Non-operational offices is just not acceptable for us. So I think a lot of this is driven by that. Like, we want to, and I ask you all to push on us. What can we control to make this easier? And then what can you guys control to make it easier? And I think that oil change is probably came out of that kind of thought process. But yeah, I believe in continuous improvement. We do a lot of it. As a partnership.
Yeah, we do. Heading into tax season, I don't know if most people, I mean, it makes sense when we say it out loud, but very unusual that all 6,600 of your leases expire on April 30th. So between really now and that time period, we will renew 2,700 leases on behalf of H&R Block. Talk to me about a little bit about from your purview. I mean, that's an incredibly condensed time frame, right? Yeah. A lot of work that goes into that time period, and there's risk that can be associated with that, right?
Yeah, there is a lot of risk. I mean, you're signing 2,400 and businesses are being sold. We got new landlords. They're forcing us out. And all these things really matter to us. And so, once again, the oil change thought process is we also only have like 6 months that we can actually do anything with our footprint. We cannot impact our business between January and April. And so that really puts a lot of pressure on if we want to renew, if we want to move, if we want to change strategically, we have to have a lot of process in place to be able to move quickly and get it done by January 1. And I mean, we're working on it right today. I guarantee there's offices being built right now. But I think with the data and the process and continuous improvement is how we can continue to feel comfortable, I think, with you know, turnover and allowing us to have the flexibility where we can change our strategy if we want to on an annual basis. And we can pivot pretty quickly, like during the pandemic. You know, we were able to pivot some of that with our landlords and rent reductions and things like this because of the term that we managed.
Yeah, I can remember those conversations during the pandemic and weighing, you know, this idea that we were going to renew. At the time, it was somewhere close to 2,500 leases we had expiring. And, you know, they were expiring the end of April. We were midway through renewal season, right? When we all started staying home every day and having conversations about, okay, how and do we need to adjust the strategy here? And we ended up taking probably, you know, close to 1,000 leases sort of in a short term to give us the flexibility to say, what is this going to look like when we take another look at this office next year? And so we've covered our great partnership together, but obviously things don't always go perfectly. So talk to me about, you know, maybe a time that comes to mind for you, right? When something didn't go as expected, you know, what was it and how we handled it? What was important to you in that moment?
Well, I think straightforward, right? I mean, I think we have an open relationship where, hey, I have a problem. This is what happened. My fault. But how are we going to go get it resolved? And I think it's always coming back with a solution. Like, this is how I think we can handle that. Or how we can work on it together. And then we'll work out maybe the details later. I think that's also the trust that we have in our relationship allows for that to happen. And bad things happen. We got, like I said, we're 2,700 leases a year. I mean, we're going to have construction that doesn't happen and non-operational offices that will happen. And that's, obviously not good for us. But I think, once again, how we handle that and how we adjust and pivot. We've put trailers up in parking lots.
We totally have put trailers up in parking lots.
Yes, we have.
I forgot about some of those.
I think we have one right now. I think this is where it doesn't feel like, you know, a vendor type relationship is. We are an extension of each other's teams and we get things done. I think it's really good.
So the theme of this podcast we're doing is team around the table. So one thing I wanted to ask you about is, what's important to you when you think about your team around the table?
Yeah, when I think about, you know, my team around the table, I mean, we're really thinking about, you know, doing what you say and execution, and that's really important. You gotta walk the walk. We gotta make sure that the execution's solid. But also, as an extension of a partnership, when I'm thinking about a team, I'm really looking for thought leadership. I'm looking for insight. I'm looking for some strategic insight from other partners that maybe I don't get exposure to. Are you adding strategy components? Are you helping us with data and analytics? Or are you using the relationships that you already have and giving us value because we don't have that insight? And so I think it's that's where I think you go from like a vendor type relationship to a partnership.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the evolution of the partnership. How the team has changed over, even if we think about the last handful of years, and then maybe what we foresee potential changes in the team and partnership looking like, you know, as we kind of chart the path forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's interesting is we have evolved and flexed depending on what the needs are of the business. I mean, at one time we had field real estate. We had a large real estate team within H&R Block, even during our partnership. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's great is, as we've evolved and matured as a company, we start thinking about optimization or we start thinking about growth. I think we can form our team, shrink it down. You guys expand. We start thinking about new offices. You guys have more design, right? Or if we want to think about optimization, we have more data scientists that get involved. And I think what's great about that is a lot of times we make changes. We don't even know. I mean, I know, but I don't know, right? Of like, how are you shaping your team?
Right.
And I think you're doing it in the background without even us having to be too involved, which is great. But I also think, like, what's the next 5 years? It's really hard to say, you know, what your team's going to look like for us in 5 years, depending on what the client wants and what we want to do with our footprint. And I think we've scaled up and down over the years.
Yeah, I think the concept of leveraging our portfolio services center to service your portfolio works so well because of that scalability and the flexibility that we bring to the table. If I think about this year alone, you know, optimizing your portfolio this year includes, you know, square footage reduction for, you know, 180-ish locations, yeah, which meant we needed more designers and we needed more project managers. Also means that, you know, because of the shift in CapEx focus on that initiative, that, you know, we needed a little bit less, mm-hmm, in other places, right? And our ability to move talent around in a way that I'm so glad it feels very seamless to
yeah,
you, so that we're not disrupting service and also providing awesome opportunities for our associates to be a part of a renovation program or a remodel program of that size and scale. And then when that program, right,
yeah,
inevitably slows down, they'll take that experience and go serve another client. in a similar capacity, having that experience under their belt. And that in and of itself, you know, is sort of what I think about when I think about the magic of having this centralized team of highly skilled associates who bring those skill sets to different clients at the right time when they're needed to deploy whatever the most important initiative is.
I mean, we talked about the flexibility of our term and our real estate, but now having the ability to have flexibility within our support is fantastic because it allows us just not only real estate, I can come up with a strategy, we can move quickly not only with the term and leases, but also with the team that's supporting us and ramp it up and down and scale it in different ways. So if we want to add offices, I don't feel like I have to stop and have like a major sit down and like, how are we going to restructure the team? It feels like we can do it in a pretty fluid nature.
Yeah, absolutely. So Sean, one of the things that we talked about is the various roles and responsibilities that you have within H&R Block and how real estate is really just one component of that. And the fact that having a team of 75 fully dedicated associates at Cushman who are really running the real estate engine for you all day long is allowing you to spend time in other places. So talk to me about this free time that you have and, yeah. and how you're spending it.
No, I think it is really amazing in the fact that once we have a partnership where we can kind of, you know, not think about all the execution, now real estate comes into my job in a much more strategic way. Because now I'm thinking about how is our technology support interacting with our footprint? How is our operations support thinking about within our footprint? Our M&A team now intersects much more closely with our real estate. And we feel like we have a much more cohesive strategy across all of our operations. And then also I interact with my partners as far as how are we leveraging talent and acquiring talent. And all of that allows me to step away from the real estate execution mm-hmm. and the lease execution and think about how does our footprint really interact in our business.
Sure.
And allows me to think about it strategically and be a little more thought leadership within our team, yeah. within our teams, rather than execution, execution, execution.
Sean, I can't thank you enough for joining me today. This was actually fun. And I can't imagine a better person to do this with.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I agree.
And thank you for joining your team around the table.